A number of years ago, I got a new cat. And the story is rather comical because I didn't want a new cat. Now, the church office where I worked was right next door to the manse where we lived. So that means that every day after my work was over in the office, I walked home either to get lunch or to quit and quit for the day. And as I'm walking from my office to my house, I get about halfway to the end of the sidewalk and I start hearing this little mew, mew. And this little kitten comes running up to me and in the typical adorable fashion of little kittens starts purring and rubbing up against my leg. And of course I reach down and you know, pet it, and it's purring really loud and breaking my heart, and I'm turning to mush because I can't take another kitten. So I finish walking back to my house, and of course I'm going, get away, get away, get away. And it follows me all the way up to my back stoop. And well, no, no, honey, you can't come in, you can't come in. So I go in the house, and I start to feel guilty because it's rather hot out, so I put some water out for it. And of course, it doesn't want water, it just wants maybe some love, attention, or some food. So we kind of leave it out there on the back stoop overnight. And you know, I think I had to get up the next day to get the kids onto the bus. And I opened the back door, and I'm thinking and hoping, please don't let it be there, but please let it be there. And sure enough, there she is sitting on the stoop, and she's sitting right there. And I go, you know what? I think I just adopted a new cat. So we brought it in, put it down in the basement, got it all shots, introduced it to the other two boy cats that didn't want the girl cat in the house, and dealt with the fur and the fuzz and all that. But we ended up adopting this third cat, and it ended up adopting us, and it became a part of the family, and it became the most favorite of mine because it sits on my lap and plays with me and no one else. So anyway, that is the story of how we adopted this new cat, and this cat adopted us. In the same way, God has adopted you. Just as we brought the cat into our home, and we took care of it, made sure that it had food and shelter and love and attention and toys and treats and vets and all of the things that it needed, so too has God brought you into God's house to care for you, to give you all that you need. Whether it be the daily providence, the daily bread, the daily love that we need, or perhaps it's the forgiveness of sins for all the things we have fallen short on, God certainly has given us a hope and a future. God has given us everything that we could possibly need, making us even to the point of being co-heirs of God's house with Jesus Christ, God's Son. But just as we brought a cat into our home to take care of it, our cat became part of our family. Almost to the point we even wonder if it's human on some days. But God just hasn't brought us into God's house to take care of us or to leave us alone or to give us everything that we needed. God has adopted us to be in relationship with us. Every moment of every day that we would be with God and God would be with us. We became family with this cat, and this cat became family with us. Now God is family to us, and we are family to God. In our text from Romans, we are told that all who have the Spirit of God, all that are led by the Spirit of God, are in fact sons and daughters of God. Not just that we're cared for, not just that we have a hope and a future and a home in the kingdom of God, but we now have our God and our Father with us and us with God, us present to God and God present to us, a living and breathing relationship with a living and reigning God. All of this done because God only wanted to choose to do so. That is why the Son was sent, to make us sons and daughters like He. But if we have been made children of God, Paul then reminds us that we are to act like a child of God. And the one verse that really sticks with us is that if we truly are children of God, then we are called not to fall back into fear, but we are called to reach out as children of God. We are not to fall back into fear because that is how children without God act. We are told to act like children of God, like Jesus, the child of God, who was bold and trusting and ever dependent on God. Now, I would venture a guess we all know about being afraid. Being afraid or having fear is the belief that someone or something is threatening to us, that something might inflict harm or injury or pain upon us. To be afraid is the belief that someone or something just might be dangerous to us. We live in a world of dangerous things and dangerous people. That's why we have called them terrorists, because they make us afraid. There are dangerous people in our communities. They look dangerous, they act dangerous. There are dangerous people or things or ideas or concepts in our world. We hear of nuclear annihilation. We hear of tyrants with red buttons at their fingertips. Men and women that have the power to topple governments and economies. We hear of dangerous people on the news, on the internet. We get texts of dangerous and threatening people in our world. And yet we all know what it is to be afraid of pain and suffering. In our cars when we drive, we hear of violence in the streets with guns and with knives. We've been burgled. Our houses have been broken into. There are harsh words said between spouses, between parents and children. We are constantly afraid that people are going to injure us physically, mentally, and emotionally. And last but not least, there are people who threaten us. People who threaten to take away our freedoms, our understandings, our beliefs. People who are threatening to take away our retirement, our fortunes, our property, our ability to do whatever it is that we want to do as Americans. And so when someone threatens us, we become afraid of those individuals over those ideas. Do we not all know what it is to be afraid of dangerous people, of injury, pain, and suffering, to be afraid of those people that threaten us and our way of life and our position in society? But our text reminds us that children of God are not to be afraid, not to fall back into fear, because we have been adopted by God. That God isn't far away on the other side of the world, especially when we need Him. God is a present and living reality that we have been brought into. If we're truly to be children of God, we are to be little Jesuses. Was He ever afraid? Did he ever fall back into fear, worried about dangerous people? Was he ever worried about pain and suffering? Was he ever threatened by Pharisee or Sadducee or Roman pontiff? We have the Son of God completely unafraid of the world because he had complete trust in God. He knew that God was reliable. They knew that God was going to show up and be for him. So what could Caesar, what could Pilate ever do to him? He was more afraid of losing God than he ever was worried about anything else. Was he ever worried about dangerous people? Was he ever worried or concerned that somebody was out to get him? They were gonna get him? Was he afraid of injury? Was he afraid of the nails or the scourge or the crown? Did he ever fight? He could call down legions of angels. And yet, what did he do? Trusted completely in God, because God is reliable, because God is faithful, because God is the Almighty, not anybody else. And if he was going to be a child of God, he was not going to be afraid. He was going to trust and be faithful. So, my friends, if you are a child of God, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid of everything the world wants you to be afraid of? That what? They're going to get us? Whoever they is? We're afraid of scarcity and poverty? That our resources financially and materially are going to what? Dry up and we're going to be poor? Are we afraid of the faux pas that we make in front of others that we're going to be nobody? Are we afraid of what our neighbors or people are going to think of us? That's not how children of God act. Was Jesus ever afraid or worried or anxious? God was with him and for him. Who could threaten him? Who could challenge him? What did he have to be anxious or worried about? Who was it that could threaten God Almighty? My friends, our text reminds us that if we are children of God, now is the time to take off our fear as if we take off our coat, and now is the time for us to put on Jesus Christ. And that means courage. That means trust. That means faithfulness, because we know our God, and who can threaten our God? It isn't North Korea. It isn't the terrorist in the Middle East. It isn't the fall of Wall Street and poof, there goes your retirement or your 401k or your IRA. It isn't the drug dealers on your street. None of those things are worthy of being afraid of, because you are a son or daughter of Almighty God. And if God is faithful, it's time to put away the fear. It's time to take off the fear, and it is time to put on Jesus Christ. It's time that we trust God and not doubt God. It's time that we become certain instead of uncertain, because God is reliable, because God is mighty, because God is faithful, because God has chosen to adopt us. Now is the time for us to adopt God. And that means it's time to let go of the fear and the worry and the insecurity, to be worried about the pain and the suffering. It's time to be letting go of, well, what's going to happen? What are people going to say? what might happen tomorrow. What will the future hold? If we are truly children of God, it's time we start to become one. And that means trust instead of fear. Because this world and our days and our future are in the hands of the God who has adopted you. So, my friends, this is the moment. This is the all-important moment where we are not to fall back into fear. Now is the time to put Jesus Christ on, and now is the time to go out in courage, with boldness, and with truth. Because all of those things that threaten us are no threats to an almighty God. All of those things you worry about, all of those things we worry about, can they really undo the power of our faithful God? So what if there are dangerous people in this world? If God is for us, is there any power in this world that can win against him? Death is the greatest force in this world, and yet I recall Jesus got up again. So what have you got to be worried about? If God has adopted you, do you think he's going to lose you? Do you think the world is going to get you if you are God's precious child? Do you think he's going to let harm come to you, harm that he can undo and resurrect? Do you think for a moment this world is not in his control, as if Jesus is not sitting on the throne of glory? So why be afraid? Now is the time to be faithful. Now is the time to be trusting and not worry. Now is the time to take off our fear and to put on Jesus Christ. The good news, my brothers and sisters in Christ, God chose to make you his family. This is the moment we choose to adopt our God. And that means faith instead of fear, trust instead of worry, hope instead of despair. What will you choose? To be scared of the dangerous person? Scared of the injury, physical, mental, monetary pain and injury? Are you going to be worried about the people that are threatening you? Whatever it is, whatever name or face you put on it? Or will you instead choose to be a child of God, who believes and expects that God is faithful, God is almighty, God is for you, and you are the loved and treasured son or daughter of God? Will you choose to be afraid, as every other human being without God is, or will you choose to muster your faith, even when you can't see how it's going to work out, even when the world presses down on you? As a child of God, we act like Jesus. We trust even in our Gethsemane moments, because God is faithful. So, my friends, if God is faithful to you, it's time for you to become faithful to him. And just as I have adopted a cat, God has adopted you. Now is the time for us to adopt our God and be brave instead of scared. And may God be given the glory and the honor and the praises of his people, for his love, for his grace, and for adopting us. And all God's people say,